So not that long ago, we said that chat control was defeated, and we did say to stay alert because it will probably come back, and sadly, it has come back, and it's about age verification, it still has some voluntary scanning, it has tons of problems that impact everybody. We can definitely come together and try to fight this again.
They'll never take our freedom!
So you might be wondering, well, Henry, what's the big deal? And the big deal is that the headlines are misleading. Chat control is not dead. It is just being privatized. What the council endorsed today is a Trojan horse. By cementing voluntary mass scanning, they're legitimizing warrantless error-prone mass surveillance of millions of Europeans. And this is from U.S. corporations. I want to be very clear about this because when they talk about companies, they're not just talking about European companies. So this is kind of still this global thing. And I'm going to talk about this and why this isn't just an EU issue pretty soon. They're presenting this as a voluntary deal. Voluntary still means indiscriminate mass scanning. And this is from Patrick Breyer. And he says this allows providers like Meta or Google to scan all private chats indiscriminately and without a court order. Now, this theoretically applies to encrypted messages as well, right? We already know Meta and Google scan everything in your account, but this applies to messages you send to you and your loved ones and your friends and things that happen in WhatsApp, things that happen in all these other secure messengers. And the way that it's presented is as this kind of nebulous algorithm that tries to decide what should and shouldn't be reported via this voluntary scheme and what's actually like a criminal offense. And even Breyer said, we're talking tens of thousands of completely legal private chats being leaked due to faulty algorithms and AI, because it's been shown that 50% of all those reports are not actually relevant to these investigations anyway. And I think it should really scare people that just that functionality being built in and knowing that just potentially anything you send could be flagged inappropriately and be sent off to someone else to scan is a huge violation of user independence, user control, user freedom, user privacy. Like I can keep making a list of the things that's a violation of. That's just not cool, man.
Oh, that is so not cool.
The second thing Patrick talks about is the death of anonymous communications. And this is what we're really seeing all around the world. I just talked about it happening in Australia on the Surveillance Report podcast. We talked about UK age verification a few months ago on this channel. I've already talked about how the US is kind of moving in this direction as well as banning VPNs. And we'll touch on that soon. But the EU also thinks this is a good idea. They want to reliably identify minors. And as we've talked about on this channel, the only way to do that is by verifying the age of every user. That's the only way to know who's a minor and not a minor, which means if you're not a minor, you're actually having to give up personal information that could be weaponized against you and could actually be caught in data breaches like we've seen happen now. And now if you're a kid, you're also susceptible to those similar risks as adults, all because of a government mandate. There's no choice involved here for anybody. That's obviously a privacy and security concern, but that's also a huge censorship risk, right? Like now that a country can decide who can access what kind of content and that control is now held by both companies and government, what's it going to take for that to easily just be turned into becoming a tool that can decide, oh, we don't want this demographic of people accessing this content anymore or that content, etc. It's a really massive slippery slope potential there. But, you know, I think more importantly, something we can point to right now is that this is just simply a de facto ban on anonymous communication. This is really sad for whistleblowers, journalists, political activists, and abuse victims. And yes, those are all extremely legitimate reasons for actually having access to anonymous communication. But even if you're not one of those people, if you're just a regular person, maybe you just want to log into Reddit without having a Reddit account that's tied to your personal identity. In fact, Reddit's actually suing Australia right now because they think that it's a privacy violation. And I'm not normally on the side of big tech companies, but lately big tech companies have been suing a lot of these things. And here's the thing, even if we think it's good and we don't need the anonymous internet anymore, which I don't think is true, but if we did believe that, experts have even warned that other methods for age assessment cannot be performed in a privacy respecting way with current technology due to reliance on biometrics, behavioral, and contextual information. It's quite simple. There's just very little way to do this in a way that actually respects people and gives them the result that they're actually expecting from these laws. And just a little extension of that, Patrick really dials in on this concept and he calls it a digital house arrest for teenagers, and that teenagers won't be able to access basic websites they previously were able to get access to. And he compares it to being a digital house arrest. It's isolating youth from their social circles and digital education. And I'm actually conflicted on this personally, right? I don't think all of the internet is good. I don't like social media websites. I think there's a lot of toxic stuff that happens on these platforms that is very intentional, and that's to get you and to keep you on these platforms. That's how these platforms exist to this day. But I think that this being actually forced is not really solving the root problem. If you can still access all these toxic platforms when you're 18 versus 17, is that really a net benefit to society? Or do we actually need to rein in these companies and get them to stop doing this nonsense in the first place? I'd lean more towards the latter. This seems more like a short-term attempt to try to reel that in with major repercussions for everybody. In fact, the EFF released an entire resource, EFF.org/age, and you can actually go to that right now. We'll leave it down in the description. And it goes through all the different reasons why age verification is quite problematic. And even if it sounds like a good idea at first, when we really unpack it, there are so many concerns that are not even being discussed. It's not even like the politicians are saying, oh, yes, we understand how these things can happen. Let's talk about how we can require better privacy from them, or how can we do this in a way that doesn't impede as much on freedom of information on the internet, etc. Those discussions aren't even happening. This is just age gate everybody, and we don't care about the consequences, which needs to change. Now, not only are these issues not discussed by them, but they even exclude themselves from these regulations. EU politicians exempt themselves from this surveillance under professional secrecy rules. They get privacy, but you and your family do not. And I think it's very simple. Why not just demand fairness? If it doesn't work for them, why should it work for you? It's very straightforward. This isn't something most people think about. I think people genuinely think this is a good idea because it's presented as a good idea. It sounds good to keep children away from harmful things. But when we really unpack what's going on here, it's a lot more complicated than that. And most people have full-time jobs and they're not thinking about this stuff. So try to help them out in a reasonable and approachable way. And I want to outline that this is not just the EU. And Engadget did a nice summary of this. They talked about how 25 states have passed laws requiring some kind of age verification. I did coverage of that. Go check it out if you're in the US and want to learn more. I already mentioned the UK. We did coverage for that too. But then also we have Australia. We have Denmark. We have Malaysia. We have all these different countries trying to come forward and trying to control who gets access to what content on the internet via these very invasive methods. And make no mistake, people are using VPNs to work around this, which, by the way, I think VPNs are fantastic privacy tool and security tool. Proton is what I personally use. We have an affiliate link with them. And we also have an open source VPN chart that lets you compare some of the best VPNs on the market. All of the top four or so are fantastic, and all of them will help protect your privacy a little bit better and allow you to change locations geographically. But they are coming after VPNs. They are well aware that people are bypassing these things and trying to get around it to still access the sites they want to access in the way that they want to access them. And we just did coverage for this VPN ban happening in the US, where Wisconsin and Michigan are trying to push a ban on VPNs as part of their age verification laws. So I want to make something very, very clear. It starts with age verification laws. Then it moves on to people trying to get around the age verification laws. So these age verification laws are inherently tied into VPN bans, which also jeopardizes potentially Tor users, which jeopardizes other privacy tools that people just might want to use to get better privacy on the internet. It's a slippery slope. It starts with good intentions, and it's going to knock out so many things we love along the way. So please, we need to get active in this ASAP, or else we can lose so many of the tools that we rely on. And I promise the last piece of context I want to give before I get into the current status, what happens next, and what we can do. The digital omnibus is also happening in the EU right now. And what this is the watering down of GDPR to make it so you have less privacy rights. So these are all interconnected things. We can't be looking at this as just one fight. You can check out my coverage of the digital omnibus and what it means. It's very relevant still. And this is happening, which means they're gutting privacy regulation and giving you less rights as they impose more privacy invasive technologies that are mostly privatized by private companies. And then if you try to get around those, they might in the future go after the tools that you use to get around these things to keep yourself safe. So this is really concerning stuff. And you might be wondering what's next. Well, we'll keep you updated on the omnibus and any VPN bans. But when it comes to chat control, which is the sole focus of this video, this was not unanimous. So we have the Czech Republic, the Netherlands, and Poland who voted against these things. And Italy is abstaining, which reflects deep concerns within the EU about the legality. Keep in mind that this is still early on as a new proposition. So if you go and fight chatcontrol.eu, it looks really demoralizing because you see 23 member states support what's going on. But you have to keep in mind this is constantly evolving. So you might see some of them start to oppose more. You might see some of the ones that oppose be in support. These are in discussions and in negotiation between the Council and the European Parliament. And they are aiming to finalize this text before April 2026. So April 2026 is a few months away. That means that you're watching this and we can make an impact right now. And we have made an impact, right? Like I keep saying this in videos now, and it's true. When I started covering chat control, people said, oh, this doesn't matter. I don't know why I should bother getting active. It's not going to matter anyway. And guess what? They had to walk back on some of those things. When we really do come forward and contact our representatives and make a difference and come together, we can really make them second guess what they're doing. So please, actually contact your representatives. It does make a difference. And at least you can say you tried to do something if anything passes. Otherwise, why bother? Breyer concludes, we're facing a future where you need an ID card to send a message and where foreign black box AI decides if your private photos are suspicious. This is not a victory for privacy. It is a disaster waiting to happen. So why let it happen? Get active. And I'm not going to get too far into the weeds here, but Patrick also made a very detailed critique where they pretty much quote different things. And he pretty much says, this is a fallacy. This isn't true. Here's the evidence and the research for it. So if you don't believe me, what I'm saying in this video, I'll also leave that linked below so you can see for yourself the arguments that are made in support of this, as well as the critiques made against it. And I think the critiques make a lot of sense. So what should you do? The very first thing and the most important thing is go to fightchatcontrol.eu. And you're going to contact your representatives, especially the ones that are closest to you, that represent you, and ideally do it in their own native language if it's not English. So actually make it about yourself, be personal, and then when you're done with that, share it with people that you know and love, whether it's this video, whether it's Patrick's blogs, whether it's just fightcontrol.eu, whatever you need to help educate the people around you, the better. And the more people that contact them about this, the better. Be direct about what does concern you about this and what doesn't concern you about it. You also need to keep yourself updated. This stuff changes literally by the week and sometimes by the day. Like you have November 11th, you have November 12th. The last update was a couple weeks ago, so we have a little break, but tomorrow this stuff can all change and be completely different. So keep yourself updated. You can subscribe to us. You can again subscribe to Patrick's blog. You can follow Fight Chat Control, whatever it takes for you to stay updated on what's going on. And finally, if you're watching this and you agree with what's going on, you can get active by actually using privacy tools. Like, go out there and install an open source browser, see what they're like, and you might like them. Some of them are better. I think Brave is genuinely a better browser than Chrome. It blocks ads out of the box. It has background YouTube playback on mobile. It's pretty cool. And I think some of these password managers are awesome. We have open source encryption software. We have firewall tools. Like, these things genuinely can make your internet experience better. It's not just about privacy and security. It's about just reclaiming some ownership and being more intentional with how you use technology. So check out those tools in the description too, and see if there's any that resonate with you. They're meant to be accessible to you. I did find this too. EDRI has a petition that you can sign, and so you can sign that if you're interested. Mozilla also has their own petition that you can sign, so just sign these. I don't know which is more important than the other, but there's no harm in signing them. Support organizations like NOI, but they do fantastic work. Of course, links again to everything are down below, as well as the EDRI. You can follow Chat Control on Mastodon. And I just want to thank you all for listening to this and taking some kind of action to help everybody out, right? If the EU passes this, there is a Brussels effect, right? They call this the Brussels effect, where the rest of the world follows. And in this case, the rest of the world's actually already starting this stuff anyway. So I don't know who did it first or what, but entire countries all around the world are looking at implementing this, as well as in the US. Half of the US states already have age verification laws. Check out that video if you're in the US. And also check out my video on VPN bans. So both of those videos will be on the screen right now. That is the next place I'd recommend you go to if you don't know about that stuff. Otherwise, thank you for watching, and I'll see you next time on TechLore. We will keep you updated on this as it develops.